Chairman, I agree with some of the sentiments of the previous speaker to a small degree. Certainly the size of the issue to non-chief executive directors is as high as I've seen in Australia. Where I'd like some clarification is, firstly, I'd say that the fact that they're issued at 5% above market is a welcome development. A lot of companies don't do that. The Tabcorp meeting yesterday...
Well, at least we got some good points.
Yeah. At the Tabcorp meeting yesterday, the chairman was making much about how they had to perform in the top 20%, and the hurdle rates were a bit higher than 5% above, but a small hurdle, nonetheless, is better than no hurdle at all. My point is that on page 67 of the annual report, it says that the Lowy family, the four of you, own 164 million shares. Yet on page 58 of the annual report, it says that the Lowy family owns 184 million shares. So there's a $20 million share discrepancy there. In being able to assess this properly, I think it would be better if it was spelled out how many shares DHPS and SM Lowy held individually, rather than it being grouped together. So we could then assess the increment of this options issue in the context of what's been issued before. It says here that Stephen Johns owns 3.7 million Westfield shares. So in assessing whether to give him another $12 million worth of options, we know that he owns about $35 million worth of shares now. But we don't know in assessing with the other options to your sons. And I think that in future it would be better if that could be separated out. And it would probably be better if one of the independent directors could comment on this, given that it's literally a related party issue for you.
Okay, I was going to... We an independent director will talk to this subject, but I think you, again, a little bit confused. The two figures that you mentioned, I think 160 to 180 million or whatever, are at different dates. And we disclose, I think, what is required and how it is required to disclose. I'm sure that we comply with all the regulations. If not, somebody would tell us. The other subject that you mentioned, that you want to know how many shares a person has before you agree to grant him options. I told you before that the shareholding and the executive position are two different issues. He can own one share or a million shares or 50 million shares, and he's entitled to the benefits as shareholder just like anybody else is here. And he or she has to be remunerated, paid separately for what he does. So how many shares a person has or doesn't have really, in my opinion, doesn't come into it. But I think maybe I'll ask one of the non-executive directors, maybe Dean Lewis, I would like to talk about the size of the options. As you say, it's somehow related to me, quite somehow. And so I don't want to talk too much about this subject, but I think maybe Dean will help me out a little here.
Certainly, it's my pleasure to do so. There are a number of considerations when you're looking at options for directors. The first thing to consider is it's part of a total package, and you have to look at the total package. The other consideration on this score is that none of these options are worth anything today. The options that you grant today, and I hope you will, are worth absolutely nothing unless your shareholding and unless your share values increase. Now, the whole objective of issuing options is to concentrate people's minds in executive positions onto the creation of value for all of the shareholders. And unless they're successful in that activity, then their options are worth nothing unless your shares, your share value increases. The other consideration is, and you're talking, Sir Mr. Wilson, anyway, on the values that you have observed regarding Australian executives. We are a global corporation in Westfield, and you have to look at it from the point of view of a global market. Unless you look at it from that point of view, then you are really not looking at it from the point of view of our sphere of activity. We have to be competitive in the retention of effective executives on a global scene, and to compare only with what happens on local industry is an incorrect way of looking at the overall situation. I do not consider, obviously, because I'm one of those non-executive directors who was involved in discussion as to the relevance and the size of these allocations. I do not consider them to be excessive in any way, given the type of results which this executive activity has been able to bring to this organisation. I can't think of any organisation that I've ever been connected with at any time that can discuss, as has been discussed earlier, the growth that this company has been able to achieve. It is quite unique, quite remarkable. And that type of uniqueness comes out of the unique effectiveness of its leadership and its management at the top level. I don't think I could add any more than that.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much. Eddie, do you want to say anything more? Do you want to say something more?
No, I don't.
To this subject? If you'd like to.
There's really not much I'd want to add. I would reaffirm, and I think it's very important, the distinction between shares that are owned and options. Options, there's no gift element in options. Options are part of a package that will become valuable if the company does what it has done in the past, again in the future. And that's what we all want to happen. I think the other point, that there are a couple of other points that I would make, just really some points of correction. When you look at option packages, you don't look at the number of options, you look at the value of the options. And so an option over 200,000 Bramble shares at $40 a share is in fact a very large option in Westfield terms, where the shares are not are denominated smaller amounts, more like the $9 amounts. So it's misleading to make those comparisons. It's not helpful to shareholders if those kinds of comparisons are bandied around and not corrected. The other point that I'd affirm, and I think you can see it in the numbers here, is that we are now an international company, and we have a number of chief executives of very major divisions that are competing globally. And if you look at the remuneration that is paid in terms of total packages to the executives, for example, in the United States, I think that gives you a very good indication of what global executives who are paying senior roles in divisions of a global company of this kind are paid. And they're the sorts of things that we as non-executives look at in seeking to come up with an incentive structure and a package that retains the motivation and is fair to the people who really put so much of their lives into this company.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson.
Sir, some of the speakers endeavoured to correct some of my remarks. If I may just correct some of their remarks. Mr. Wills talked about you can't compare Australian companies with global companies. The company I used, and I chose Brambles and I looked at others, was because Brambles was a global company, Mr. Wills, and to that degree is comparable. So your point on that had no relevance at all. I'll leave my other points, Mr. Chairman. I understand what options are. What my point was they were excessive. I'm not opposed to them being granted options. I said that was excessive. Not one of your non-executive directors addressed the point about it being excessive. And all they talked about was understanding options, which, of course, I suppose most of this audience understand what options are, so their contribution to the debate didn't help at all. It's the excessive numbers, sir.
Thank you very much.